Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio. All right, everybody. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, September 11th, and we are live week number one of the NFL just wrapped up. And the college football week two is wrapped up. We have a new week starting. We've once again joined by Jonathan Birdsong again. John, welcome back, my friend.
Brandon Reed, thanks for having me yet again. Appreciate it. Hello.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Week one NFL. Before we get to the college, we'll do the NFL first since that's what's fresh on our minds. Week one, what was some of your takeaways overall from week one?
Man, what a week. What a week, right? You don't want to overreact. That's what you don't want to do. But you don't want to underreact, too, because you can kind of see what you got. Well, because, you know, it ain't necessarily week one. You've seen what you had in preseason. And even though a lot of these guys say they don't put a lot into value into preseason, it's a more evaluation type thing or whatever. You still do get some game out of some of the players. So, with all that being said, shocker! I thought I'll go all around, not just pick on the Colts. This is supposed to be what this is the New Orleans Saints. This is the Saints that everybody says this is going to be the NFC. Like again, like you know, we get a transition over from our thoughts on basketball, where a team can have a bad stretch and look bad, but. The Saints gave up a lot of points, and they made it respectable down towards the end. But you just can't. Who they get torched by? Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
You know. So that's the Saints are real questionable. Yeah, would have to be. And I know, you know, they historically are a team that gets better, but that's just, you know, I've never seen a champion. Well, I take that back. I think Dallas. They had won the year prior before they got blowed out like in a home opener. I got no faith in the Saints. I really don't. Not to get to the Super Bowl.
That's who I took. Remember, I took them to be the Super Bowl.
I tell you who I do got faith in. I never doubt this man ever again. I was actually thinking about, you know, my top five quarterbacks of all time, and. You know, it's a rotating. It seemingly is going to be when it comes to basketball players and with football players too. But the top five quarterbacks and like you think I think about my top five, and I'm not going to you know give them a spoiler, you know. But like, there's no way you can't if you're a football fan. There's no way you can't have Aaron Rodgers not being your top five. I mean, I know he's got the lone Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? But he's getting to the mythological. You know how the last couple of Green Bay quarterbacks we've seen, Brett Favre, how they have they not necessarily won the big Super Bowl game, but they have these games where they pull magic out of their ear. And I would,
right.
I'm saying ear because you know I'm trying to be you know radio friendly, but in all seriousness, like Chicago had that game won. And I know the thing about it is you really can't against any elite level quarterback. Andrew Luck would have got him back to the game. I think, you know what I'm saying? But, like, big Chicago just kind of, like, gave up. But I wouldn't say gave up, but they just, you know, let Green Bay creep back to the game, and then he crept back in the game, and it's, like, automatic momentum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was
automatic momentum. So again, I'm not going to spoil everybody, you know, listening ears with my top five, but, like, there's no way out of watching, you know, 20-plus years of football, that I couldn't have him, like, so if somebody argued this, hey, why isn't Aaron Rodgers in my top five, I'd be like, okay, well, I guess you might have a point.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it was, well, I'll start out with that game first. It was, I've never seen it's been a long time since I've seen two different halves of football that were drastic like that. The first half, the Bears could not do wrong. I mean, Khalil Mack, shame on me he must have heard me say a week ago saying that he wasn't going to be a wrecking ball on the defense. And the first half, you could damn near give him the MVP award for the season, just based on the first half of the first game.
Right.
Forced fumbles, the interception return for the touchdown. Aaron Rodgers getting hurt. I mean, you're sitting there looking to score at halftime, and it's 17 to nothing at halftime. Chicago in Green Bay, the vaunted Lambeau Field, and the Bears come out in the third quarter. They get a nice drive going, 5-minute drive, and they get a 33-yard field goal from Parkey. They're up 20 to nothing, and Matt Rodgers comes back at that point, and you're like, he's going on one leg. And my God, John, to me, that was a Willis Reed-esque Madison Square Garden performance, coming back hurt. Or listeners will remember a Paul Pierce-esque when he came back when he was in the wheelchair, and then he came back out. Right. Now, I've had some people tell me that it was just it's all a show, all an act, that, you know what, he wasn't really hurt that bad. And, boy, I mean, you're not going to just run around like that and risk the rest of your life. With Khalil Mack on the other end, just running around on one leg if you're not really hurt, you know?
And Chicago looks to be like a good team. Now, I think there's going to be a logjam for who's playing second. I really do. I know Minnesota. Well, I take that back. Minnesota's clear cut.
I know who the worst team is.
Yeah. That was embarrassing. Isn't Matt Patricia part of the family tree that is Bill Belichick?
He is, but that's only for the defense, which they still gave up 31 points in the third quarter. I mean, I know some of that was Stafford's fault, but...
He looked very unprepared. They looked very unprepared. He didn't look like he could coach an NFL game in the big chair, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Jim Caldwell has, again...
The silent assassin.
Put the whammy on organization once he's left it. Which I don't know. I really don't understand why they. I mean, I guess I'd have to have to listen to a Detroit fan tell me why Jim Caldwell got the exit door out of the Detroit Lion House. But they, dude, week one, unless Matt Patricia goes on, I just don't see it. But he's gonna be fired. I know that's an overreaction, but yeah, he looked like he needed to be fired.
I will tell you right now, and you're going to call me crazy, but we'll play this tape back, and I will record this this little segment here to play at the end of the season when we're talking. I will tell you one coach will be fired at the end of the season, and they've already won their opening game this past weekend. Todd Bowles of the New York Jets will be fired by season's end. You watch. You watch. You don't go 10-6 the first year, and then 5-11 and 5-11, and yeah, you know what? They won their first game, but damn, the Lions aren't that good of a team. Obviously, it showed last night. You watch, start playing Darnold back down to earth. He will be fired by the end of the season. Take that to the bank. That is my moral lock.
I didn't put too much faith in your Cleveland. You kind of called it. I'll give you that one. You called Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Playing upset spoiler to the
opening.
You called that one. So I didn't see the Todd Bowles at all. But
Todd Bowles, he will be fired. He's on my list. That's your fourth season, and you got a brand new quarterback. You're your fourth season. Yeah, you get a little bit of a leash, but if you start out winning a couple games again and then you go on a landslide, sorry. It's gonna be the end of the year.
It's the NFC East. What's the expectation? Okay, let's be honest. You're the general manager. It's the NFC East. What's the expectation? Honestly. I'm sorry. AFC East.
Third? I mean, second, I guess.
What's the real life expectation? What's going to happen?
You're playing for second.
Correct. Just to get into playoffs, because we haven't been in the playoffs since the Blue Moons. And it'd be awesome
correct.
If we hit New York. So, I don't know.
I think they're better than Buffalo. I do not think they're better than Miami, though. I think Miami has got a better team overall. Definitely a better quarterback.
Let's talk about Buffalo. Their quarterback support. I can't believe it, man. You know, it was a real feel-good situation in Buffalo last year. They hadn't been in the playoffs in something like 13 years. You might fact-check that one, but it's been a long time since the Buffalo Bills have been in the playoffs. And they – the coaching staff, the man, whoever, ownership, general managers, man, they set the Buffalo Bills back to Nothing. They're going.
Yeah.
They set them back to nothing, man. They didn't look like they could beat Georgia
or Ball State.
I'm serious. They didn't look. Within reason.
No, I mean, they need to put their backup. They need to put the rookie in. Peterman has never been the great quarterback. He threw five picks last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I never understood that one either. That's amazing. But
I'm not sure.
Put the rookie in, he's going to take his lumps. He's going to get killed.
Well,
no. What's the one guy in Texas? Remember Texas had a quarterback that they never could get a good team around, but we knew he was good.
Vince Young?
But he's always – no, white guy.
Oh.
Brother. You got
Colt McCoy?
No, not Colt McCoy. Dude, I'll think about it. All right, go on to the next segment.
Okay, anyways, while you're thinking, I'm going to go with my five keys that stood out most important for me from the week one. Number one, you hit the nail on the head the first one with the Saints. I picked them to be the NFC champions this year, and my God, the defense is still missing. Drew Brees is still out there throwing the ball, which we thought he would, and Alvin Kamara is still a freak of an athlete, but the Saints defense not show up. And no, folks, that was not Jameis Winston, your quarterback. That was Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic.
Maybe that coach is overrated. Has anybody ever said that? Has anybody ever said that?
No.
Has anybody ever said that he's overrated?
Not at all.
I'll be the first.
Ooh. Interesting. And, you know, the Bucks, they play my Steelers week 3, Monday Night Football in Tampa. And I thought it'd be a cakewalk for Pittsburgh, but I'm not too sure right now.
It's a fabrication. That scoring is a fabrication.
You're right. It is.
That scoring is a fabrication. It'll be a tough out. Now you can look at the Bucks as a tough out. If Jameis Winston does come back, it might make the team worse, quite honestly.
Right.
But
it's funny. I'm gonna break trend here for a second. I got this other sports site that I follow, and they give like premium access and notifications and. NFL, Fox NFL, Jay Glazer, he has a mailbag he does every Monday, and then he answers the questions on Tuesday. So I asked him a question on Monday. I said, well, after seeing, and this is foreshadowing our Colts talk here, but after seeing Andrew Luck in week 1, have your expectations or predictions for him and the Colts this season changed? And he actually answered back. I just got the alert on my phone. The Colts were full for every day that Luck had been collecting and injured. He would need the same amount of healing time to recover. He's finally reached that ratio required. This offseason, Luck worked with QB guru Tom House, who I personally believe is absolute genius when it comes to the human body. House helped Luck regain confidence in his throwing motion as well as physicality. Two big hits in the preseason gave Luck the mental confidence he needed to take the pounding the NFL quarterback goes through. The Colts understand that Luck will need time to find his old rhythm, and they have to be patient with that. Ballard is confident that Luck is elite and will return to form. Brandon, they've been raving about him. Ballard and the Colts have stood by their man so much that even when he was hurt, they spurred a trade call by the Browns last year before a trade deadline for the former number one pick. Wow. So he really didn't fully answer my question. He answered the first part of it on expectations for Luck. But that's a little teaser for one of our Colts talk here in a minute. I got to round out my last four. I'm sorry, I just got an alert from when you see Jay Glazer has answered one of your questions, you got to take a look at that. The other four, Pittsburgh Steelers. I kind of called it. I was nervous for 2 weeks about playing in Cleveland, and the weather was bad. Big Ben was, rusty because he hardly played in the preseason. But John, even though it was a tie, it still feels like a loss a little bit to me. But then when you deep down look at it, when you have 6 turnovers or 5 turnovers and you still don't lose, you kind of got to call that a win a little bit, you know? here's my thing. I saw a stat today, and it was funny. teams in the NFL that are plus five in the turnover ratio for a game are like 162-3-1. Okay. So the one tie obviously was Cleveland. And of the three teams that have had the five turnover margins or more and have lost, two of the three losses are also the Cleveland Browns. So they're on the wrong side of it. It was a very nerve-wracking game. It was a very sloppy game. Boswell, he'll be fine. He missed that field goal. He pushed it a little bit. Yesterday, he banged out 20 field goals before the end of practice from 42 yards out, the same distance, and he made all 20. So he's got that all cleared up. The Le'Veon Bell saga continues, still missing. And apparently from TMZ reports last night, he was down in Miami nightclubbing, went out to the club about midnight, and then went back, left the club about 5 a.m. this morning. So he is a long ways from showing back up to Steelers camp. But I think James Conner did a great job. And D'Angelo Williams did the same thing last year when Bell was out for injury. So, John, my question to you is, I'm starting to believe maybe the running back is just a system running back. Kind of how can we talk about quarterbacks? Because James Conner did pretty well as well in this place.
Well, I don't know. They're going to – Bell's going to play this year. He's gonna come in this year.
Okay.
That's my belief on it.
Did we trade him?
You know, NFL ain't big on trades.
I know, it's not. It's not like the NBA. But John, he don't want to use his body. Pittsburgh's not going to want to let him just sit there. And you know what? Hey, we need you in here. Well, I ain't going to play. Well, what's that doing any good? You know, it's frustrating, of course. And I've been listening to Pittsburgh radio for the last couple of days and listening to fans call in and bitch. And then I've listened to the sports announcers. They bitch. And it's and you know what? And who was it that said it? Was it Ryan Clark and Rodney Harrison both said it? Harrison said it Sunday Night Football. The Pittsburgh Steelers just need to worry about themselves and don't say a single word about Le'Veon Bell the rest of the way. All that is a huge distraction to this team.
The Le'Veon Bell situation is bugged to me because we all know NFL contracts. We know the brutality of the NFL, and you lose your career today after playing three games, and maybe the contract's not guaranteed or a portion of it guaranteed, or all my bonuses guaranteed, so on and so forth. But, like, I get it. How many times did he go through a franchise tag? Twice.
One time right now. He hasn't signed the second one yet, but, yes, it will be twice.
How many times did the quarterback who used to play for Minnesota, now he's playing for the Redskins, how many times did he go through it?
Cousins was twice as well.
Right. I know it's a little bit different. I know it's a different position. It's probably different in money. It's probably like $2 to $8 million, where I think Le'Veon's like 15, and I think Cousins is like 22. He's like 22, then he made 25, then he made like 27. And, of course, that's a little bit different, drastically different when you think like that. Like, dude, it's $15 million, correct?
Correct.
With like bonus, with guaranteed. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't.
We've earned him a great deal.
Who set the rules? Who set the rules that running backs are dime a dozen? You know.
Yeah.
Some running backs are special.
Le'Veon's what the tag is 14, 14.5 or 14.7. We offered him a five-year, $82, $83 million contract. $33 million was guaranteed within the first 2 years.
Yeah,
and he got a significant signing bonus. But, John, even for the money he wants between $18 and $19 million a year is what he's looking for. I calculated, John, even if you add that together, he would be the highest paid running back, obviously. He would make more money per year from what Odell Beckham, who just signed a huge contract. And also, he would make more than 18 of the 32 starting quarterbacks, what they make this year, he would be making.
Well, I give him that. I think he's better than – I think he's significantly better as a player than 12 to 16 of the quarterbacks that are starters. I don't know. Do you think he's trying to be somebody that's trying to change who's trying to take a stand to make a change to say, hey, running backs need to be paid like this. Then do we see Bell like in that light?
Like he's but you don't see Todd Gurley doing that, and he just got paid damn near same amount.
I just suppose his position between and like what you know what I mean the numbers of what he wants and what other guys got and like dude I'm like man at the end of the night 6 o'clock 5 o'clock whenever you know the office is closed you need to sign your contract.
Yeah, you know who he reminds me of a Le'Veon Bell this past weekend was Joe Mixon. He had flashes in that game against the Colts of Le'Veon Bell esque. And if Marvin Lewis and them can use him right, I think it'll definitely help out the Bengals.
Mixon went through obviously his baptism of fire for what he did at school. You know what I mean? Totally unacceptable. But yeah, Mixon's gonna be a good player. Period.
Yeah. I know
people are selling Cincinnati short. And they kind of saying that they kind of fumbled into a win by beating the Colts. And no pun intended. Sorry, Jacksonville. In all seriousness, Cincinnati, who's the worst team in the North Division? And if they are the worst team, that's the worst team. You gotta suit up to play Baltimore. You know what I mean?
Right.
They might not hit as good as they used to, but they still hit hard. You know what I mean? You never know what you're gonna get out of Flacco. The North Division, it's not a division that's comparable to the AFC East. That's how I look at it. It's gonna be a black and blue division.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't sell Cincinnati loss to anybody. You know what I mean? Did you lose to an elite team like New England? No, but you lost to a team that was probably technically a little bit better than you from a skill position wise because they playing with vets, we playing with rookies.
Right. We kind of hit on the Buffalo Bills and my God, that saga. That was one point that stood out to me. We talked about the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. That was another one. And my fifth one, Monday Night Football. I don't know who all stayed up awake to watch it. Shout out to you, Jonathan, as well. Birthday boy, celebrating a birthday, so I'm sure you had some cervezas and was not up late enough to watch the game last night. But the Rams, that team to me, John, I they may be the best team in football. Period.
You want to call them the team of destiny? No.
that defense and that offense that they with under Gurley, and then they got the wide receivers with Cooks and Woods now. Goff's still learning his own, but my God, that defense, they got Marcus Peters on there. They got Aqib Talib. They got all these guys in for 1 year contracts or 2 year contracts saying, hey, you know what? Come to us. Shit, this year we're going to try to win the Super Bowl. And if we don't, see ya. You know, that's what they were going to do with Khalil Mack. There was a report yesterday. They wanted to trade for Khalil Mack, use him for the season, and then see ya, trade him at the end of the year. I like it. That's Moneyball.
They got a different attitude about how to spend money and play football out there with this Rams regime. That's kind of cool. You got to keep people interested it's more than just from an X and O's. And I'm a diehard. There's no such thing as diehard fans for football in Los Angeles. Let's be honest. There's no such thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not gonna go crazy. How do you remember back in 88? Do you remember back in 97? Nobody's, you know what I mean? Because they didn't have the culture. They don't have the history. You know what I mean? They can tell you. A diehard football fan in L.A. might tell you about USC before you tell you about anything about the Rams or the Chargers. It's exciting. I was thinking that, I know, some people had whispered that, Gruden had, kind of grown past some of his, But I think the Raiders still got a little juice left in the tank. I know that window they have with this particular Raiders, that's gonna be real odd. I don't know if John Gruden, because you're gonna have to take some losses, Brandon.
Oh yeah, they're gonna lose he's next week gonna, too.
I don't know if he can take it.
I've got them losing next week in Denver.
Yeah. I mean, they're gonna win some games, okay?
Correct.
They're gonna lose some games, and like that $100 million, and people are gonna start mentioning that, like, Gruden, you ain't got it no more. But I wasn't hoping, he was thinking he's gonna jump into a 11-6 situation with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Just because he was coming over. Like, that magic happened for you a long time ago, right? When he jumped from Tampa Bay and the Raiders. That happened a long time. That was this type of magic there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I think
they'll
win.
They're gonna
lose some big games. Big games.
Yeah. I'm going to say 8-8. 8-8 for Gruden this year.
You gave him two more games than I would have gave him.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, maybe Derek Carr will quit playing like David Carr, and they'll get it together.
Oh.
So.
Oh man.
I wonder if the wrong car looked like the wrong car put the uniform on last night. So. Recapping a couple games real quick. Thursday night football. We had the Falcons and the Eagles. Finally got started after a 45-minute delay. Jay Ajayi, my God, Doug Peterson, give him the ball more, not just because he's on my fantasy team and I love the two touchdowns, but give him the ball in that first half. Let that boy just run with it. And, John, nothing has changed from the last 2 years with the Atlanta Falcons. They cannot get the ball into the end zone, in the red zone, and Julio Jones is a non-factor in the red zone. Yes, he's all over the field everywhere else, but how can you not get to him in the end zone? I don't get it. I really don't.
The Atlanta Hawks are unwatchable. I see why nobody
the
ever
Falcons.
Has them too.
You are set on the Hawks. You are a Hawk hater.
I am a Hawk hater. No, the Atlanta Falcons are horrible. They're horrible to watch.
Matt Ryan. Oof.
I mean, sometimes they have good games. Those are the games you never get to see. Like, oh man, they're lighting it up. They're whooping by 27. And then you watch a game with them, and you're like, dude, is this 1964 football?
Right.
Do they have leather helmets? I think Philadelphia's kind of checking off a little rust that game.
Yeah. Tevin Coleman, IU product, looked very good in the game. He had some good stat lines with him. I was impressed with him. Coleman actually had one catch for 26 yards out in the flat rushing. He had nine attempts for 19 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, the main play was Julio Jones. He had 19 targets with 10 catches, 189 yards and no touchdowns. But you get in that red zone, you just can't put it in. I don't understand how that team, as skilled as they are,
move up and down the field. Seemingly, and then, come away with nothing. I don't care.
Absolutely. All right, our people, our fans, our people, they want to talk the big one. Indianapolis Colts, Cincinnati Bengals. Final score, Bengals 34, Colts 23. Game closer than what it looks. I did, John, I'm sorry, in our predictions, I did take the Bengals plus the 3 points last week in our picks. I went back and listened. So, but a lot closer. Initial thoughts of the game itself?
Colts got torched. Colts got torched. They got to figure out their safety and corners situation.
No running game.
Linebackers actually played real well. They got torched.
Looking at the stats, Joe Mixon, we just talked about Le'Veon Bell, has 17 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. A.G. Green had 6 catches on 8 targets for 92 yards and a touchdown. Andy Dalton threw for 243, 2 touchdowns and a pick. You look at the Colts side, rushing was nowhere to be found. Hines had 5 carries. Wilkins had 14. Christine Michael had 2. So for 40 yards was what Wilkins ended up having. Marlon Mack is still out. Andrew Luck, John, they wanted to test that arm to see how Luck was. Well, guess what? They tested it 53 times. I don't know if that was what their game plan was, but Luck 39 of 53, 319 yards, 2 touchdowns and a ugly interception in the red zone. What was your thoughts?
The best thing is that Andrew Luck didn't get sacked 5 times.
He almost got hurt.
That's going to be kind of a running thing.
What did you think of that hit? Do you think it was right to eject him?
Nah, man, it's kind of 65 football. But I know why they do it, but it's kind of 65.
Ooh, you're going to piss off all the Colts fans there. I actually thought that was a dirty play, a dirty hit. I really did. He led with his helmet, and it was clear as day.
Well,
we have to disagree, you know. That's how we work.
Well, in five years, take the helmets off.
Oh, geez, here we go.
But now, other than that, man, you know, Colts, defensively, they got a good scheme. They just got young players out there making mistakes or, you know, not knowing, you know, not knowing all techniques.
Right.
So they got roasted. They got burnt. Again, they'll be – it's clearly you can put it on the Colts. But they do have a pass rush. It ain't the pass rush that you and I are accustomed to seeing, but they do have a pass rush.
Kimeko Turley, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, but first-year player for the Colts, I was very impressed with his pass rush. He has good footwork. He did it against one of the Bengals' best offensive linemen, and he's good in the whole league. There's a few times where he got stuck, but he has a pretty good spin move, and if he can get it perfected, I think he'll be a developing pass rusher. Obviously, not as good as Mathis and Freeney and them, but I think it's something to work with. It's a hidden gem, I think.
Right, absolutely. Other than that, what else did I take away from the game?
53 passes, that's a lot.
That's a lot. But he's a quarterback. He's supposed to throw. I'd rather see him throw that much than
You want him to throw that much when they're winning? They should be running the ball.
We got Canadian players at running back, obviously. No, other than that, we still had a chance to win the game. Doyle coughs it up.
Yeah.
T.Y. should have caught a pass when we were up 20. And he didn't catch it, but the Hilton is always open, but it don't always, I guess, keep, you know.
Yeah,
saying,
T.Y.
Catches
on 11 targets, 46 yards, that's it.
He walks the fine line of hot dogging and talking trash, man, and like, dude, it was best just when you just be the productive receiver and shut up and play. Then you don't look so bad when you make bad plays. Don't make plays. No, I'm serious, man. T.Y. Hilton is very skilled, but, like, this dude, he's not, you know.
Yeah. Just shut up and play, right? I think that was the old mantra they used to use.
That's all I'm saying. He needs to shut up. He's not. Is he top 5 in his league? No.
No.
No. I don't know if he's top 10.
No.
Okay, so.
Maybe top 15, but I'm talking lower half of 15.
You have to be confident. I get that. But you say 15, I don't know if he's top 12. T.Y. Hilton.
He wasn't even the leading catcher on their team either. He didn't have the most, I liked Eric Ebron. I thought he played pretty well. He had that one touchdown catch, 26-yarder from Luck back in the second quarter.
Well, I think the expectation, though, is also for Eric Ebron to eat up some of the – but not necessarily to be there. He kind of was invisible to the touchdown, though. Like, you didn't know where he was at. But, you know, again, I watch the game on TV. You can't see – actually, you only see what the camera can show you, so – what's missed on what I, from my analysis as far as him maybe blocking somebody or playing decoy, you know what I mean? But yeah, he played a quality game. I can't take that from him. I don't want to knock his play overall. Again,
right.
If Doyle doesn't come off the ball, we're putting ourselves into a position to score. because we didn't have a problem at all moving the ball on Cincinnati's defense, and NFL guys got it in the top 10, but we seemingly were able to score on it. So is that kudos to us? I would say so. But like Doyle's got to not cough up the ball.
Yeah. I thought the Colts did pretty well on their third downs. Overall, they were 11 of 17. I thought that was pretty good, 24 first downs. They ran a heck of a lot, 27 more offensive plays than Cincinnati, so I think they were getting a good continuity in. Rushing, though, they got outrushed by 26 yards by the Bengals. Turnovers were the same, 2 and 2 from each team. Each team had 2 punts. Colts had time possession 5 more minutes than the Bengals. Overall, Doyle was your leading receiver, 7 catches, 60 yards on 10 targets. You said obviously had the key fumble there at the end of the game. I would love just to see what kind of red zone offense Frank Wright and them would have came up with there for Luck based off of the interception that he had earlier. And then, you know what, in Indy, the cornerbacks, A.J. Green's a freak. I'm sorry. He can jump this fast. These corners never stood a chance. I'm surprised it took to the third quarter, into the third quarter, for A.J. Green to shell out, you know?
Yeah.
So, 34-23 is the final with there. They've got, who do they have? Oh, they go to Washington. Colts go to Washington this Sunday, possibly. It's not official yet, but they could move or postpone the game due to the hurricane that's heading to the East Coast. This weekend. I did see that the officials are talking of what they're going to do, but you can't expect heavy rain and a lot of wind. So if they do play, it's a 1 o'clock kickoff. I don't know if that bodes well for Indianapolis, a sloppy game. Normally it does not. And I am going to go with the Redskins on this one as well.
You believe in Alex Smith in a sloppy game?
I do. He's played in enough snowy and cold games in Kansas City. Colts are underdogs, Colts are plus 5 on Vegas. So 5 points if you take the Colts. I will give you the points, and I've got Washington. Washington by 6.
By 6?
By 6. Very few touchdowns, but mainly you're looking. I'm John. I think you're looking at a 17-10 or 17-12, something like that. There's your 5 ball game. The weather can use what they're saying out there in Denver, Maryland.
Right. No, I think I got Washington too, but I think I got a bigger score than that.
Think they're going to just kind of continue to keep airing it out in the conditions?
30-17.
Okay. Interesting. If we look back at week one, some of the other games, I was really shocked how your boys came back down to life now with Jimmy G. Yes, the Vikings are a tough team, but Garoppolo, they played terrible against the Vikings, lose 24-16.
Hey, man, anytime the old Patriot family tree is losing, man, I'm laughing. I love it. That's just true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the Patriots, they ended up winning 27-20 over the Texans. Another close – I mean, not a close game. I mean, they were up by 14 with 9 minutes to go, and then a 7-minute drive by the Texans, and then that pretty much put it on wraps. But – Deshaun Watson played a horrible game, 17-34, 176 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Hopkins only had 78 yards. Lamar Miller, 2 yards short. Sorry, fantasy owners, of 100 yards and 2 extra bonus points. But Tom Brady doing Brady things, only 13 missed passes, 277 yards, 3 touchdowns. Gronk doing Gronk things, 123 yards and that touchdown. Your boy, Philip Dorsett, the former Colt, he's got good rapport with Brady.
I know. Ryan Grigson was probably shouting at his TV like, yeah, but wrong team, Grigson. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand. Dorsett couldn't figure it out, but there was plenty of times there was hand signals by Brady and Dorsett, and he did everything right. You know, it seemed like those two got along very, very well. So, and the Patriots, we did sign two pass receivers today. I seen, I'm trying to think, they're both the names have slipped my mind.
Who they signed. Can you believe Dez Bryant? How about receiver? You can't believe Dez Bryant ain't got a job. Can you believe this?
I think it's going to be a TO, locker room presence.
This man is over. You think that's what it is? I'm almost thinking that he's done.
Yeah, it's getting there. Clock's ticking. A couple more. I mean, now if some big wide receiver or so gets hurt, I can see them trying to bring him in, or if a team's getting close to a playoff push. I mean, Dez said himself last week, somebody asked him if he was ready to go to play football and sign. He said, when the time is right, the team is right, and most likely be towards the middle to late of the season is when he wants to come in. So I guess he's waiting on an injury, apparently, from somebody. I don't know who.
What's he doing? He's going to join TNA, Ring of Honor? What's he going to do in between
time? I don't know. Put him in the WWE. He can chill down in Miami with Le'Veon.
Man.
They can talk about all that money.
Go ahead.
The Jaguars, another AFC South opponent for the Colts, win 20-15 over the Giants. Saquon Barkley, my man, 18 carries, 106 yards, and a tutty. He had a 68-yard touchdown run, so that helped me out in fantasy. Thank you, Saquon. Eli really didn't do too much. Odell Beckham, 11 catches for 111 yards on 15 targets, so your boy, Jalen Ramsey, didn't do too hell of a good job, giving up 100 yards on Beckham. Yes, there was no touchdowns, but.
Yeah, as that game was playing, I totally forgot about Jalen Ramsey was even out there.
Yeah. Yep. I think the biggest storyline is the rushing game for Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette went down with a calf injury, hamstring, I believe. Went out of the game, 9 carries, 41 yards, but T.J. Yeldon did come in. They did say today or yesterday, last night, one of the two, that Fournette is day-to-day, so he should be back ready to run all over the Indianapolis Colts here in a couple of weeks, I believe.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's a monster.
Washington and Arizona, Adrian Peterson, 6 carries, 96 yards and a tutty. He's still Adrian Peterson's still doing big things.
Dude, I thought he was out the league. I'm still glad he's with a team.
Yep, absolutely. Here's one of my worst teams in the league. You ready for this? One of the teams in the NFL this year, the Dallas Cowboys.
They're going to finish last. For a second.
They are terrible.
It looks like a mess, man.
It does.
It looks like a mess. It doesn't look like they are all ready to win. Like, you know, like they had a, like they had a, like a, remember 2 years ago what we were saying? What people were saying? And like now it's not there. Maybe part of the reason is Jason Witten retired. You know what I mean? I would probably, I mean, you know, what did you have to replace that with, like, from a tight end position, right? But like, that just looks like a mess. Now.
Yeah, I don't. None of them looked happy out there. And I guess when you get your ass kicked, they don't look like
they're no longer the team that I would consider. Like 2 years ago, I thought they would win Super Bowl, or they would be going to a Super Bowl. And that's, they don't look like Super Bowl at all. Not last year, not this year.
Yeah, I agree. They're a long way from what we thought they once be with, you know, maybe they should not have turned to Dak and should have kept Tony and them in there, you know, maybe let Tony go for a couple more or another year or two before he was ready to go.
Oh, no. Dude, nah. Well, no. Tony Romo? No.
I think, why can't he hand off to Zeke Elliott?
You saying Romo got – well, Romo did have a better – he did have a longer – his down the field, but like –
I think he's a better passer than Dak Prescott.
That's what I'm saying. But I don't know, man. They can't move the ball. They can't move the ball.
We'll see. It should be interesting.
Yep.
We'll go back to NFL towards the end. Here we got about 40 minutes left.
Okay.
College football weekend. Recap in college football, really. Some head scratchers, Purdue and Eastern Michigan. Oh, John, it's 2 weeks in a row now. Stupid penalties at the end of the game cost you a chance to win. Jeff Brohm needs to hold these players accountable, and he finally said in his press conference yesterday that, you know, he's going to start pulling people out for stupid bonehead mistakes, and they're going to have to earn their way back in. The offense struggled a little bit at times. They're still back to the two quarterbacks. Sindelar did play a little bit better in the second quarter and second half, but my God, this team is so undisciplined, and it's cost them 2 weeks in a row right now. And could toss him a third.
I didn't watch the game because I just knew Purdue was going to bounce back and win.
Mm.
And when I flashed up the score, I thought it was a typo. I had to run to the TV, make sure I wasn't seeing things. Eastern Michigan,
yeah.
Man, I love when the MAC schools. I really do. So I love when the MAC schools beat the teams they're supposed to beat. So I love it.
Clemson and Texas A&M, I actually watched that game. That was a great game on ESPN. Clemson, number two team, won 28-26.
I didn't know. He took the program with him, and yeah, that was scary. That was a scary little game for Clemson.
Yeah, Kellen Mond from Texas A&M threw for 430 yards and three touchdowns, so that's going to be a name to watch going on the rest of the season. Georgia had no problem with South Carolina, destroyed them 41-17. Jake Fromm played well. He did throw for 194 yards, even though he is dealing with some shit that's gone on with him recently. He has had apparently he's been hacked, and nude photos recently have released of himself. So, you know, with him being that big Christian boy now, church family, dad probably aren't too happy with that latest turns of events for Fromm. But it didn't cost Georgia. I thought it would, especially in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Your boy here. Here's why I always questioned with you. Oklahoma won 49-21. Your boy out in UCLA, Chip Kelly, now is 0-2. Should he probably stay on the sidelines another year before coming back into the college football ranks?
Yeah, because who really runs to join UCLA football? I'm serious. The prestige factor is not. I mean, they're not the prestige. They're a prestigious institution,
right?
You know, they're elite level institution. Don't get it twisted. I don't want to knock. But like the UCLA football program. It's not, it doesn't have, it's not historically, it's not.
Yeah.
So he took over a program that nobody really, I'm not saying nobody cares about. They care about winning games. But the way he's going about doing them, like it's not a good marriage. It's not a good marriage at all.
I agree there. Another game I was watching while I was watching the Clemson game was Penn State and Pittsburgh, which was a great game in the first two quarters. It was 14-6 Penn State, and then the floodgates opened up in the second half. They heard me say I needed to hit the over and Penn State, and Penn State won 51-6, destroyed Pitt.
Let me tell you why Penn State did this. Okay. I'm gonna bring you all the way around. Alabama is the best team in college football. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Penn State blows out Pittsburgh, correct? Right? Because that looks good on the resume when they take a loss to Wisconsin. Or somebody else they're gonna lose to along the way. Because
Penn State, I see that.
You see what I'm saying? Penn State has to do these things. Hey, you know what? I'm not saying Ohio State doesn't do it either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ohio State's rocking up the score on everybody.
They do this to make themselves say, hey, okay, well, when we take a loss, remember, hey, we beat so-and-so by 40 points? You go back to that. See what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what it'll be. Penn State's gonna make a bowl game, but they're gonna need some help along the way.
Yeah. Down goes Sparty, your boy Herm Edwards with another victory. They win 16-13 over Michigan State.
That's the game nobody's really talking about. That's right. I know some Spartan fans, they were shocked. They were shocked. This is supposed to be like not necessarily a cakewalk for Michigan State, but it was supposed to be, you know, like a little brownie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a little Debbie. That's what it's supposed to be. and Herm Edwards came to play. He said, you remember, he got him, you know, pumped up. So,
oh yeah.
Kudos to Arizona State.
In our annual Jim Harbaugh watch, Michigan easily wins over Western Michigan 49-3. We both knew they were going to put up the points against the MAC school.
Again, MAC school weekend, they couldn't pull it out. So, man, Michigan State looked like, you know, the Avengers.
It's kind of like Miami.
I knew they would bounce back. But again, you got to have to beat somebody, Jim Harbaugh. You got to beat somebody.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. The one that means the most to us, I think that was a interesting one, was Ball State. Me and you both went to Ball State. So Ball State,
correct,
Cardinals and number 8 Notre Dame. Final score, Notre Dame 24, Ball State 16. It was close. They had chances.
Man, offense couldn't get into the red zone. Special teams played exceptionally well. Defense played exceptionally well. Facilities, those new gym, those new athletic facilities they got down there from the athletes down at Ball State, they put into good use, man, because I just remember a time when there's no way that the athletes measured up on the field. Notre Dame always had bigger, you know what I mean, maybe not necessarily faster, but they always had bigger guys.
Right.
Than the Ball State guys. So, running back in Notre Dame might look like a lineman for real. He might be that big of a human being, it's a program builder, feel good type of situation. So that you listen, Notre Dame, I think is our where they rank right now in a top
number eight, still number eight.
I was gonna say they're top 10 for sure. They're top 10. They're top 10. I don't think if they've been made, I would, yeah, top. I would even put them in top 7, 6. They got them at 8. So, I mean, they're at where they're supposed to be. From a Ball State perspective, though, you play a top 10 team pretty darn good. And I know there's no pat yourself on the bat types. There's no either. It's either dubs. There's dubs and L's, right? Wins and losses.
Right.
They played very well. So you take that into your season, to your regular season, and going into playing IU, and maybe you. We all know Notre Dame's better than IU, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you play, you go in that, and you build upon that. That's what I think Ball State's program. It's building like, hey, man, we kept up with Notre Dame. I mean, it would have been something. It would have been marvelous had they beat them. But for them to keep up with Notre Dame, with this particular Notre Dame team, I think is going to play they're going to play a role in what gets determined as far as the championship. Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So – Ball State should look at it like that. Everybody who's involved in Ball State athletic department and football should look at it like that.
Yeah, very impressive outing by Ball State there. I was cheering for them and impressed with the way they played there. If I was Notre Dame fan or coach, I'd be nervous with Wimbush. You know, they keep talking about the backup quarterback. I forget his name for Notre Dame, who came in and he hands off. That's all he did was hand off. But apparently he has a cannon. But Wimbush did not look like – I mean, he struggled against a MAC school at home. It's not like you're on the road or a neutral site. Like, right. If you're Notre Dame, you got to watch it. And there's no slouch this weekend coming up. Vanderbilt's a decent team. And
right. Well, that's all. Sometimes you play up to the level of your competition, too.
Right.
So he might have been from Wimbush's, he might have been disinterested. I think Notre Dame. I ain't gonna be the guy that says stick my flag and say Notre Dame's gonna be in the championship game. It's not gonna happen. Well, it ain't gonna happen this year. I just put it to you like that. But they're gonna determine with somewhere along the way within their season, like who goes.
Right.
Because somebody either has to beat Notre Dame to build their resume, or Notre Dame has to beat them to help their cause to get into the championship game. So that's what I mean by that. But yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, in a muddy, sloppy game, the Indiana Hoosiers actually knocked off Virginia, the Cavaliers, 20-16 in a sloppy game. Peyton Ramsey, 150 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and that was a big win for IU. And, you know, head coach Tom Allen, he was very impressed and very happy with the performance in that game.
Hey, man, IU needs to schedule bottom feeders of the ACC every year. And they'll usually get I shouldn't say that because I don't know if IU can beat Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech comes with a lot of games, but they can't close games. I watched the Georgia Tech game this weekend, and that's for the life of them. They got a lot of talent in Georgia Tech, but they can't close.
Yeah.
But like I said, Indiana, again, is kind of in a similar position with – well, just a little bit ahead of IU is going to – is probably – I'm probably going to switch roles with IU and Purdue this year. Quite honestly, I had Purdue actually – maybe finishing middle level of the pack in the Big Ten, like no worse than six. Like no,
I had them 7-5, no joke. I had them.
I'm at to put IU maybe 7-5. They look to be like the better. They look to be the better team.
Absolutely, it was. And it'll be interesting the rest of the season. I'd like to see IU. Why don't they ever schedule IU and Notre Dame to play football? I know they have the rivalry with Purdue and Notre Dame, but I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners or somebody knows.
Where would you have the game at?
Well, shit, you ain't going to play it at Lucas Oil. Warren Central?
You said Warren Central? Oh, man. Would you swing it back and forth to do a home and home between Bloomington and South Bend?
Yeah. Why not?
Would the fan base be torn? Are IU fans secretly sometimes – Notre Dame fans?
Yes, they are. 1,000%.
So it would confuse the fan base?
I think it would.
Are we supposed to wear our Notre Dame shirts today, or are we supposed to wear our IU shirts?
I know, right? So
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't. You bring up a good question. I don't know why they don't. Probably because I use RPI, that type of deal. Is not good enough for Notre Dame. Notre Dame likes to eat cupcakes, but they like certain cupcakes to have. But you know, they like to play Army Navy. When they play Army Navy, usually Army Navy got better RPI than IU. With the exception of their Big Ten schedule, they got a better RPI.
Yeah, that's true. Very true there. What we'll start doing now is, every time we have our show and it correlates, or maybe a week where we may miss at some point due to both of our busy schedules, but recapping our pick'ems that we had.
Uh-oh.
Last week, I went 6-1. John, you went 5-2 last week. We both missed on Purdue game once again. So overall, I'm 11-3, and you're 9-5, just 2 games back currently. So it should be – it's still close. You're hunting. So We've got five games. No, one, two, three, six games this week that we are picking on. Can you hear me fine?
I hear you fine.
Perfect. All right. So game number one, we have the Ball State Cardinals heading down to Bloomington. We just talked about this team, the Indiana Hoosiers, playing there on Saturday. Ball State at Indiana. John, who do you got?
I think Ball State gets the Hoosiers.
All right. I got Ball State as well. I think Ball State beats them. They've done it before a couple times.
I know they have.
So, Missouri, 2-0, heading up to Ross-Ade Stadium, 0-2 Purdue. Purdue's not going to let a third game slip, are they? I don't think so. I'm going Purdue in this one.
I think this particular Missouri's playing the Big 12, correct? Yep.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Sure.
I got Missouri.
Taking Missouri.
Missouri.
All right. The next one, we got Vanderbilt 2-0 going to Notre Dame. I think it's closer than the experts think, but I've got Notre Dame in this one.
I got Notre Dame. Brian Kelly has the guys prepared. They're ready to play today.
Okay. Probably one of the best games. Say what?
I said they're ready to play like a champion today.
Oh. probably one of the best games for the weekend. Number 11, LSU. 2-0 going to number 7, Auburn.
Ooh. I like LSU.
Okay. LSU for you. You know, I wanted to go LSU. I love the coach.
They're inspired. They're playing inspired football.
Absolutely. I'm going LSU as well on the road upset there. So I'd like to see them do that. Number 4, Ohio State, heading probably their toughest task, obviously their toughest task so far. No cupcakes here. You're going to number 16, TCU, and this is going to be played in Dallas, Texas at Jerry's World.
Texas Christian against Ohio State. Oof, those guys get amped up, man, when they're playing at home, but and Urban's not coaching, right?
Urban's not there, and it's at a neutral site.
I got Ohio State.
Okay, I got Ohio State as well. I think they do get it done. I actually had money on Friday night, the TCU game, and for the life of me, the first half, it got rain delayed, lightning for 2 hours, and then once they started playing, the team they were playing was hanging in there. I said, this is over. They're going to get the 35-point spread I need. I woke up Saturday morning. My God, they got that 35-point spread, so I loved it. So thank you to you for that. Last game that we'll make our picks on, number 9, Washington, playing against Utah. I am actually going with Utah for the upset. The number 9 ranked team gets upset on the road.
No, Washington. I got Washington.
Washington. All right. So just recapping, we both run with Ball State. We both are on with Notre Dame and LSU and Ohio State. We are not agreeing on Purdue, Missouri, Utah, and Washington. So those are our picks. Those picks will be up on the Facebook page, also and both on our Twitter accounts. Be sure to check those out. Like I said, overall 11-3, 9-5 so far for our 2 weeks. We got about 10 minutes left here, John. So looking. Excuse me, looking at the NFL schedule for week number 3 that we currently have, Thursday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens are traveling to the Cincinnati Bengals. Will be on NFL Network, no regular TV, so if you want to watch it, you're screwed, unless you have NFL Network. An AFC battle, I'm going to take the Ravens on the road there. I think the Ravens are actually going to be pretty good. That's going to be a good game to watch. AFC North games are always fun to watch. I'm just because of Steelers.
I got the Ravens as well.
Yeah. One that I really like. You are not a fan, obviously, and you're called a homer. The New Orleans Saints. The Saints are at home against the Browns. Do the Browns get their first win at New Orleans this week?
Wow.
Yeah. Does Drew Brees and these Saints go 0-2?
I gotta go with the Saints.
Going with the Saints. Okay. I'm not putting these pickems down. I'm just asking for just a few thoughts on it. But Chiefs and Steelers. Steelers home opener. I think they get it done. Pat Mahomes is going to throw about three or four picks in this game. So I think the Steelers will get it done there. Another one I like. Where did it go? Vikings-Packers. That's going to pretty much – these two teams are going to battle out for the North, I think. I know you like the Bears in there as well with that, but I'm looking forward to the Vikings and Packers. They play a 1 o'clock game. We already talked about it. Here's your rematch, AFC Championship game from last year, Patriots, but this time Patriots are going to Jacksonville to take on Jalen Ramsey and the Jags. I think even with the game in Jacksonville, I think New England still gets it done, but it's close. It's a 3-point game.
Nah, Jacksonville wins.
You think in Jacksonville? Okay. You know, it's this next game, it seems like we always have it on Monday night. And normally, it's always the first game of the year that we have this game. But the NFL people have given us for Sunday night football, little Carrie Underwood action. The New York Giants are going to the Dallas Cowboys. Both of them are 0-1, John. One of them's going 0-2. I think it's the Cowboys that go 0-2. And the Jerry's World is going to be in a huge panic.
Who's he gonna blame? Who's he gonna blame this year? Who's he gonna blame?
I don't know. You can't blame Tony Romo anymore. You can't blame. This is on Dak and Zeke.
Will he ever fire the coach? I know he's getting some money like this.
I don't know if he would or not. That'd be. So like at some point you have to. I mean, he didn't have a problem firing anybody else, Barry Switzer or any of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Saquon has a big game again. I think Odell Beckham. Beckham's going to have a monster night. Eli gets back into right form. Cowboys are going to be searching for answers for a second straight week, and Jerry's world will be falling down.
Well, you know, Jerry will send out Michael Irvin and Fox, and he'll send out Emmitt Smith to in the ESPN and Fox. They'll talk about 1991 and 1992 and the Deion Dan. And it'll make everybody feel good. I feel good about it when I hear them talk about it. But Dallas Cowboys not winning a Super Bowl this year.
No. Not at all. And then our Monday night game next week, we have the Seahawks going to Chicago. Actually, I think it should be a pretty good game there. I think this makes or breaks Chicago's season. It's Monday Night Football, national television again. You just got embarrassed the week before with the big league against the Packers. You got Seattle coming to town. It's not the Legion of Boom anymore. It's the Legion of Loom. Because this team, Vince, has just got Earl Watson left. Or not Earl Watson, Earl Thomas. I'm thinking basketball. Wow. Earl Thomas, the only thing left they got there.
He went to Matsu.
Monsters of the Midway?
I think the Bears get it done.
I think they get it done by 3. So, all right. Any last things?
Sorry.
Huh?
I said Trubisky don't look that bad. He looks all right.
No, he does. He looks decent. I like him. Mitchell, as he likes to be called. I think they've got a good guy. They've got some good wide receivers. Oh, holy cow. Chicago's got some wideouts. Sure. They can put it all together. I don't want to say playoffs yet this year, but I think next year they got a good chance.
Yeah, right. They got a good chance. Real good chance.
Yeah, so that will be interesting to see. I got some nostalgia music for you because it's coming up here in about 2 weeks. And I've already seen some of the players in town. But the NBA is coming up, my friend, soon enough. We got the NBA 2K18 or 19 with LeBron on the cover and Giannis. That dropped today out for everybody to pick up, PlayStations, Xboxes. Shout out Best Buy. Go get your stuff from Best Buy or digital download, whatever, you don't leave your house. I ran into the Pacers assistant coach a couple days ago, And I asked him, how are we looking? How's everything looking? And he said, you know, he was working with Miles, and he was also working with DeMontis Sabonis out in L.A. So the good thing there, I didn't tell him what I wanted to tell him about my beef with Miles Turner currently, but he said the X factor will be, and it's going to be interesting with this preseason to see in camp, is Tyreek Evans will be the X factor, he said. So, and that's coming from the assistant coach. I won't give out which one it was I talked to, but he said
Tyreek
Evans.
Wasn't there a deal? Ain't there some offers? I mean, they probably just talk about Corey Joseph's contract.
There is, yes. The Arizona Republic put out, and we put it on last night, that the Suns are interested in targeting Corey Joseph for a point guard role.
Yeah, of course, because the Suns need more point guards.
Well, they just traded away Brandon Knight last week.
Yeah,
yeah. To Houston, I think it was. So
okay.
They're running out of people out there.
Running out of point guards now. No, yeah,
I guess somebody's gonna give it to Ayton.
Yeah, at some point I would assume that's the reason why they drafted Holiday. Excuse me, is to take over a starting position. excuse me, taking 3 point guards into a season is an awful lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we'll see. It's coming up here in a couple of weeks. But be sure, John, thanks for joining once again. Be sure to follow us again on Twitter, at Crossroads Sports, at Three Foolish Men, and at Brandon Reef. That's our Twitter handles. Be sure to check out the Facebook page, Crossroads Sports, and then also our website, www.crossroadsports.us. Also a little tidbit, my little brother, well, he's not so little anymore. My brother Jensen will actually be doing some articles previewing some of the college football games coming up, and also he'll be hitting some posts on blog posts on some different Pacer news and things like that this year. So my brother is going to contribute a little bit to the Crossroads site as well. So some new people, and just keep building the brand. So be sure to follow us, like, subscribe, share everything. If you give us a like on iTunes, you can watch the shows or listen to the shows on there. We'll be doing Facebook Lives as like instant reactions for some Colts stuff later on, and then also some Pacer games, some big Pacer games. Me and John may do a Facebook Live of each other, recapping those big games. Take care of them in the first game. Just throw that out there whenever they play, I guess, middle of October. But be sure to check that out. And, yeah, John, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you again next week. We'll recap week 2.
All right, Brandon. Thanks for having me again. Take care.
See you, buddy. All right. Once again, that was Jonathan Birdsong joining us as always. Thanks, John, again. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we will wrap up accordingly. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. All right. So thank you for our advertising, Drone Pro Media. Also for Blog Talk Radio, where we put the show on every week. Two last things. Number one, Brickyard 400 was ran yesterday, rained out all weekend. Brad Keselowski did get the W. It was good to see Team Penske, Roger Penske, finally get his first NASCAR win at the Brickyard. He's won 17 times in the IndyCar, so it was good to see that. The playoffs are set for NASCAR now. Jimmy Johnson did get in, so it's good to see the former champ get back in there into the playoffs. And then finally, last but definitely not least, I do want to say thoughts and prayers, obviously, to everybody that was affected. We obviously, today is the anniversary of September 11th. 17 years ago, we did have the terrorist attacks with the World Trade Center bombings. the Flight 93 and also the attack on the Pentagon. I think it's one of those times where everybody knows exactly where they were, what they were doing at that point. I wanted to make sure I made a purpose here to say, you know, thoughts and prayers, everybody's still affected. Everybody knows somebody through the sixth degree that it was affected by this personally. And I had a couple of classmates of mine that were personally affected. So let them know I was thinking about you guys today in that, and as well as everybody else. That was one time when everybody in this world really responded together to take care of the evil in this world. So I know we get away from the politics and the stuff just to get to shoot the banter about sports. It's a time for everybody to kind of rally around sports and stuff. But I definitely want to take time to just let everybody know, you know, we are thinking about you and we will never forget what happened that night, that day, excuse me, on September 11th. So with that being said, enjoy your good week. I will put out some games for those gamblers out there later on this week. And we will see you guys next week after week number two of the NFL season. Take care.
Crossroads Sports.